Would you turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 3, please? We're going to continue, of course, in our study through the foundations of our faith. And I've been really blessed by so many that have come and said, you know, some of these things we knew, some of them we'd never really looked into before. And as we continue to see God lay a firm foundation in our lives, and as we said last week, each of these truths are building blocks, the doctrinal building blocks by which we live and by which we understand God. What my experience has been through the years is that people who have come to Christ, maybe have been a part of Christianity for years, have never had certain foundational building blocks established in their life. And so they're missing pieces, and because of that, it causes problems in our life. Today, we're going to be studying probably the greatest of the areas of doctrines with regard to pivotal points in our Christianity. That's called justification. Now, that's a word that you probably haven't used this year yet around the dinner table, right? But it's extremely important that we understand this area of doctrine as we're going to learn here today. So let's begin reading here, Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. And as we read through this, listen to the words of God. Listen to what he's saying here. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So words are important. Verse 10, chapter 3 of Romans. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been made manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he may be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? Is it excluded? By what kind of law? By the law of works? No, by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Now let's just stop there, because there is a whole lot in this passage of Scripture. Many areas of doctrine that this covers, but we're just going to look at one real key one today. But one of the things that this Scripture reveals to us, very important facts to understand. One, the whole world is separated from God, guilty of sin and transgression, accountable to Almighty God. It says, though, in verse 19, that the whole world is accountable to God for our sin, and it reveals that no human being can be justified in God's sight by any action or any compliance to God's word. That's powerful, and that is contrary to public opinion. But Jesus said that he came to earth to bear witness to the truth. This is the truth about life. This is the truth about our standing. Whether we believe in God or not, the Bible reveals the truth. It's like someone says, I don't believe in atmospheric pressure because I don't see it. So the only way we can breathe here this morning is because of atmospheric pressure. You may not believe it. You may not even think about it. But were God to remove that for an instant, what happens, our science teacher here? We're gone, right? We all stand accountable before Almighty God. Now, the primary issue in the Protestant Reformation, how many of us know that we are Protestants here this morning? May not all be Protestants here, but if you're not of the Catholic faith, you're a Protestant, because Protestants means protesters. Something happened centuries ago with Martin Luther. The primary issue in the Protestant Reformation was a dispute with the Roman Catholic Church over justification, this very area here. Once Martin Luther realized the truth of justification by faith, changed everything in his life. He became a Christian. He became full of God's Holy Spirit. He became overwhelmed with joy, and there was no way to put a cork on that bottle after that. He was transformed from that point on. Understanding justification by faith, that no man through works, through religious duty, can ever be right with an almighty holy God. He came to that realization. And this, by the way, is the distinguishing feature of Christianity against all other religious beliefs. Because all other religions have things a person needs to do in order to be right with God. All other belief systems that have any belief in God, you have to do certain things. For a Muslim, there are six things you have to do to be right with Allah. Maybe. Mormons, certain things you need to do. Jehovah's Witnesses, certain things you need to do to be right with God. Baha'i, you name it. Confucianism. When we were in Beijing, China years ago, you go into the Forbidden City there by Tiananmen Square, walk through these big gates where the emperor used to live, and there's this huge, vast courtyard. And in order to go on in the courtyard, there were about four or five bridges of stone that you had to go over. And each one was one of the teachings of Confucius, one of the moral teachings. That's how you entered in. Purity, honor, whatever, some of the other ones that he taught. That's what you had to do to move forward. Christianity is the only belief that recognizes that we are in a separation between us and God, and only by Christ are we justified, not by what we can do. Distinguishes us from everybody else. The doctrine of justification, Sproul says, R.C. Sproul, was the storm center of the Reformation. And as for Paul, it was the heart of the gospel, the very heart of the gospel, shaping his message and his devotion. Paul talked all the time about justification. He says in Acts 13, you're freed from everything that you could not be freed from on your own through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That was the gospel. In Philippians there, he says, if anyone had a justification, if anyone had a reason to think he was right with God, Paul says, it was me. Because I was born of the chosen race of Israel. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. As to the law, I was blameless. I was head and shoulders above all my peers in the fact that I diligently did everything that the Torah told me to do. If anyone had a reason, it was me, Paul said. And he says, yet I was dead in the water in my sin. And so now I count all my thinking, everything that I felt was right in me, I count as trash, as dung, for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, in whom I am justified, not by my works, but by His. Talks about that all through that book of Philippians there. Very heart of his life. A right understanding of justification is critical and crucial to our Christian faith and to the way we share the gospel. So let's go into this a little bit here today. Now, to understand this big word, justification, we have to first understand guilt. You can't experience the good news of salvation till you experience the bad news of conviction. What makes the good news is the bad news, all right? So we're going to look at guilt here today. Guilt is a Saxon word. It means a crime. Comes from a word that means a crime, a debt. And it's connected to gilden from Saxons. It means that there's a debt that needs to be paid for. There's a crime that needs to have consequences. It implies criminality and the liableness to judgment. That's what the word literally means. Noah Webster, 1828, Webster had studied 25 languages, and he studied the roots of words. He defined the English language, why we say what we say. Now, today, as we're all well aware of here, definitions are changing. The writers of the new collegiate dictionaries and other dictionaries have not gone through the work of understanding the original root languages that our English language comes from. They are beginning to define words culturally. For instance, guilt. This is out of the university, a university, Case Western University, Cleveland, Ohio, Department of Psychology. Guilt must be understood as essentially a social phenomenon. All right? That happens between people just as much as it happens inside of them. It's a result of relationships. Another man, psychologist, says guilt is an inability to forgive oneself for perceived wrongdoing. It's just a perception that you have, not a fact. The Bible is diametrically opposed to that. The Bible reveals that guilt is a condition of our soul. It's a state that we are in. We're guilty before God because of our sin. And God is a just God, and sin will not go unpunished. And so that sin has to be paid for. And there is no way we can pay the price. That's why it says in Ephesians 2, the whole world is under the wrath of God. Because God is just, and he will not let sin go unpunished. That's the bad news. Now, the Bible reveals a lot about our reaction and what happens as a result of this guilt. We don't always connect these dots, but much of what we do in our relationships comes from this attitude, this state that we're in. Back in the Garden of Eden, we find Adam and Eve, and they were in perfect fellowship with God until they transgressed what he said. He said, you can eat of anything in the garden, enjoy yourselves, you're in the Garden of Eden, except for this one tree. Don't eat any fruit from that tree, just one. And they ate. And for the first time in their existence, they felt guilt. So what did they do when they felt that guilt? Did they say, ooh, we shouldn't have done that. Boy, I can't wait till God comes so we can talk to him about this to know what, you know, what's going on here. They weren't excited about seeing God, were they? Because the Bible reveals two responses to guilt that we all experience. One is they hide. We hide when we're guilty. We don't want others to see that part of us. Things that we say, driving down the road, hoping we don't pass a Christian because we're going 30 miles an hour over the speed limit with a Christian bumper sticker. Playing with the computer, hitting certain sites. Someone comes in the room, bloop, change it. We hide. That is a function, and it's a result of guilt in our life. We don't want people to think differently about us. We don't want to ruin our standing in their eyes, and so we hide. What is it that causes us to do that? Why do we respond that way? Why can't we just say, who cares? No, this guilt causes us to hide. Hide what we're doing. Hide what we're watching. Another thing that guilt causes us to do is to blame others. We see that in Adam. First thing he did, God comes out and says, Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? As if God didn't know. He says, Adam, what are you doing? He says, I hid from you because I was ashamed. God says, why were you ashamed? God knew what happened. And then Adam, of course, he says, Lord, I'm sorry. I take full responsibility for my actions. No, second thing we do is we blame. We blame. What is it that makes little children blame others? Mommy, he made me do it. He hit me first. It just comes out of us. We blame others. Who did Adam blame? God. We think he blamed Eve, but if you look at the scriptures, he says, this woman you gave me. I was doing fine down here in the garden. I mean, I had the animals, had everything I wanted to eat. You're the one that thought that I needed a helpmate. You're the one that came up with the idea. You put me into a sleep that was out of my control, and I woke up, and there she was. And look where it's gotten me. It is just natural for us to blame other people, to not take responsibility for our actions. That is a result of guilt, and that every human being battles with guilt. And it causes all kinds of things in our life. It causes a great insecurity in us, and we try to fill this insecurity with things to make us secure. With some people, it's money. With some people, it's relationship. With other people, it's stuff. We try to fill this void because of the guilt we have that separates us from our Creator, and we can't fill that up. That's how I came to Christ, trying to fill my life up with things that could make me feel complete and whole and successful, and it was just like an empty hole. Couldn't do it. Knew there had to be something more. The guilt does that. Insecurity. Why do you think, especially young people, but also some older ones, why do we pick up on every fad that comes through? Why not just wear whatever you want? Why does it have to be a hoodie with a certain logo on it? Why shouldn't it be? Who cares? Because we want to be accepted. We don't want people to think bad about it. We don't want to be too different. Where does that come from? Why not just be ourselves? Because there's this insecurity in us as a result of guilt in our life. And we cannot blame other people enough to get rid of guilt. We cannot hide enough to get rid of guilt. All those responses do not remove guilt from our life. We stand separated from God and guilty for the crime that we have committed that deserves eternal death. We are on our way to hell for eternal punishment because that's what our sin deserves. And so we fear of the future, fear of what other people think about us, trying to muster up something to give ourselves a good image in other people's eyes, wanting to look good for other people. There's this pursuit of popularity and recognition because of the emptiness within us, because of the guilt that's there. Low self-worth. You know, one of the occupations that has one of the highest percentages of low self-worth, you'd be surprised. Those who win Miss America contests. High percentage of feelings of low self-worth. Most beautiful women in the world, talented, and yet something's wrong. Something's not right. There is something very wrong with mankind, and we're guilty. Feelings of condemnation, hopelessness, despair, loneliness. Like I said, in fear. I know of a security guard who prayed to give his life to Jesus Christ. Following 9/11, he's a security guard, been a security guard for many years. Because he realized this world is not secure and there's nothing he can do to make it secure. It scared him. But the root of our responses is guilt before Almighty God. And we cannot get rid of that on our own. A lot of us have a lot of regrets. Anger and aggression is a result of guilt. We see that in the scriptures with Cain. When God did not accept his sacrifice because Cain did not present that to God the way God prescribed. That guilt caused aggression in him to take that out on his brother, and God even warned him not to do that. Some people just begin to be feelingless, don't have any feeling anymore, but you can't wipe away guilt. And it affects everything in our life, like you saw these guys portray. How do we get rid of guilt? Okay, here's the good news. Justification. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Would you turn with me to Romans 8 here? Because this is the good news that we know and share with others. Romans chapter 8, let's begin reading with verse 29. It says, "For those whom God, he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." Now, many people have memorized that passage of Scripture, but not really looked into what does it mean, those he justified. What does that mean? Well, justify means to clear or pardon from guilt. That's what that means. To absolve, to acquit the guilt and the merited punishment, to declare innocent, to accept as righteous on account of the merits of the Savior, says in Webster's. by the application of Christ's atonement to the offender. I love Noah Webster's 1828 version. This is in the dictionary. You don't see that much today. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Justified, cleared. In fact, a good way to think of the term justified is just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. He clears the guilt from us by the blood of Jesus. We just sang that powerful song, In Christ Alone. And it says, Christ was nailed to the cross, and my sin was nailed to the cross with him. We're cleansed by his blood. Just as if I'd never sinned. Remember little magic slates? Everybody's probably worked those every now and then, but maybe when you were young. Let's call it the magic slate of life. And here's Doug's life before Christ. And there's all of these things there, friends and dreams and intentions and things I wanted to do and all this mess. And then dreams that didn't work out, failures that I had. And I got this big old black sheet there of all this mess in my life. And then Christ comes into my life and clean slate. And there's no way I can go back and find the stuff that was on there because it's gone. That's justification. There's nothing I can add to the finished work of Christ. I cannot be good enough. I can't add anything. I am right with God. I'm at peace with God. I now have His Holy Spirit within me, not because of these good things I'm doing. It's what Christ has done for me. Because all of us have areas that we're sad about. We have areas in our past we wish we wouldn't have done. People that we hurt. People that hurt us. Reactions that we had that we knew we shouldn't have had. Justification. And in this, God did not violate his character, because the Bible says God is just. Just as sure as it says God is love, it also says that God is just. Justice has to be done. When there's a crime committed, justice has to be served. We don't really feel the impact of that until something happens to us personally. If someone were to violate one of our loved ones, or murder one of our loved ones, or do something that touches us so deeply personal, there is this sense of justice that comes out in us. Someone has to pay. The perpetrator has to pay for what they did to me. And that's a righteous justice, because we're made in the image of God. God is just. He will not let sin go unpunished. So sin did not go unpunished. That's the beauty of this passage of Scripture in Romans 3, because it says, although all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we are justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation for our sins. And then he goes on to say there, so that God may be just, He is just, and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. Propitiation, that's another word you probably haven't used in 2008. Right? Big word, but it's very important for us to understand what that means. Propitiation means the act of appeasing wrath. God's anger and wrath. Sin is so wrong before God that His wrath and anger is stirred and justice has to be done. But Christ became our propitiation for sins, which means His death on the cross satisfied the wrath of God on our behalf and paid the price. Oftentimes when we share the gospel, we don't share the whole gospel with people. Sometimes we'll share, oh, just put your faith in Christ and He'll take over your life and things will be better. We don't talk to them about why we need Christ in our life. What is our normal state of man? Why is the world such a mess? The world is a mess because people are a mess. And people are a mess because we're separated from our Creator, racked with guilt, trying every way to try to find some significance in our life. There's even a book written, Search for Significance, some way to know that I'm valuable, to know that I'm special, to know that my life has meaning, where our meaning, our value is found in Christ alone, because God is our Maker. But when we're disconnected with Him, we're trying to search every other way that we can. In fact, there in Romans 3, it says no one seeks for God. Do you see that verse right there? No one seeks for God. We'll walk away from that verse and say, oh, wait a minute, people seek for God, don't they? I mean, yeah, people going to church all the time, and you have Tibetan monks meditating, giving their whole lives for just meditation. Certainly people seek for God. The Bible says no one seeks for God. What is the Bible talking about there? Well, people will seek after religion. People will seek for spiritual experiences. But no one of their own volition, of their own free will, will seek after the one eternal God and Jesus Christ, Almighty God, His only Son. No one will do that but for the grace of God. Because we just try to solve our own problems because of our self-centeredness. That's our sin. And we walk in this guilt knowing something's wrong with us. Christ became the propitiation of our sins. In other words, Jesus took the punishment for our sins that we deserved and thereby removed the guilt and condemnation that we had that was due us because of our inability to clear ourselves. He did that for us. Very important for us. And because if we don't understand justification, then we wrestle with a lot of things as Christians. And this is what I have seen as a pastor. People who constantly have a problem in experiencing the joy of the Lord, the joy of their salvation, the enthusiasm about Christ and His Word, have feelings that they never quite measure up. They're always feeling like God is not totally pleased with them. Because they're not measuring up. They know that they should do more in Christianity, but they're not. So they have kind of this feeling that God is a little bit upset with them. All the time. All the time. Because they can't perfectly follow God's word every day. Every day they can't do what they know they should do, or even do what they want to do. And so they feel like God isn't totally pleased with them. People who battle with those kind of thoughts are lacking a huge foundation block in their faith. Called justification. Because when we understand that there is nothing I can add for my acceptance before God and my avenue to God and His love for me, there's nothing I can add to the finished work of Christ, then I understand justification. And my standing with God every day is not based on whether I'm doing everything right or wrong. It's based on what Christ has done. And I walk in the joy of the Lord and in the freedom. And that does not give me a license to sin. It gives me a freedom from guilt. Because that feeling that I'm kind of still guilty causes all kinds of responses and affects all the behavior and all the relationships that we have with God and with others. Does that make sense? Understanding what it means to be justified. People feel distance from God, as if He might not want to talk to me today because I've yelled at my kids. So I guess God doesn't want to talk to me today. But I hope He gets over it by tomorrow because I have some things I need to pray about. But I'll give Him some time. You know, and that comes from maybe the way we were raised. Maybe you were raised by parents who had a conditional love, a performance mentality that, boy, when you were doing good, they were right there. But as soon as you start embarrassing them or something, they stiff-armed you. And so the parents who parent that way give their children a big disadvantage in life. And maybe that comes, we try to superimpose that to Almighty God. God is not like that. Our Heavenly Father is not like that. But our acceptance comes from what Jesus had done. Now, we also have to remember here that we have an adversary, Satan. There is an invisible world. How many know that here? God created all things visible and what? Invisible. He created a lot invisible that we don't see. And Satan and all of his demonic angels are part of this invisible realm around us. And he is a master of heaping condemnation on Christians, to making us feel guilty when there is no guilt. Because Jesus has taken that guilt. But he wants to rob us of joy. He wants to control our lives. And somehow, some way, he has access into our thinking. He can plant thoughts in our mind. And if we buy into that, like Eve bought into the serpent's questions, then we're going to be robbed from what we have in Christ. There are different names for Satan. Satan, Satanas in the Greek, means adversary. He is our enemy. People are not our enemy. Satan is our enemy. Satan works through people. But we have to have understanding of what's going on. And God's word gives us tons of insight into the spiritual realm. Satan is an adversary. His name is also the devil, Diabolos. You know what that means? Accuser. So his names reveal different characteristics in him. It says in Revelation 12, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God." The devil accuses us. And you know, one of the problems with that is he's got a whole lot of ammunition. He tries to beat us down. You think you're a Christian? Ha! Huh, look at you. You can't even read your Bible every day. You call yourself a Christian. If people in church knew how you think, how you talk when you're at home, they'd think you need to be saved. Accusing you, accusing you. That's Satan. That's what he does. You know what I've learned to do with that? Because pastors, we get hammered. I mean, whenever you speak publicly, you are a shooting target. I don't know if you've heard, but pastors oftentimes talk about Blue Monday. Because after Sunday, then all of the should-haves comes up on Monday. I should have said this. I shouldn't have said that. You know, I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. And you just get heaped with all this feelings of inadequacy and that. And that's real common among ministers, leaders. Some of you know what I'm talking about. So this is what I do with the accuser. Because he's right. Satan, when he accuses us, he's got a lot of ammunition. And so when I get accused, Toller, what do you think you're doing? You make so many mistakes when you talk. Well, when Satan comes in heaping all this stuff, you know what I say anymore? I say, Satan, thank you for reminding me how great God is. I mean, you are right. I'm a rat. But that just makes Jesus so much more special. So thank you for that. Lord, I praise you. I use it as a springboard of praise. A springboard of praise. Because I understand justification. And I understand there's nothing that I can do that will add to the finished work of Christ in me. And again, that does not give me a license to go do what I want. It gives me a love for God to do what he wants me to do. It's a freedom from the guilt that would control my life. That's what justification is. That's why it says in Romans 8, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Satan. It is God who justifies. If God justifies, who can condemn? If God has done it, who's going to stand against Almighty God? Remember, we always have to remember, that God is Almighty God, creator of the universe, and Satan is a little bitty created being. He's a little bitty created being. That's what Satan is. There is not this power struggle with God. We've got to keep that in mind all the time. Yes, we have an enemy, and apart from the Spirit of God within us, he crushes us. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and Jesus always leads us in victory over the enemy. The use of the word justify in the Bible indicates a legal declaration of God. You are not guilty. That's it. To condemn means to declare someone guilty. The opposite is justification, which means to declare not guilty. What a joy that is, to know that I am free. And now I have access to God, and God is working in my life constantly because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. That is a key foundational block that we have to have. Last thing we're going to read, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's read this verse in closing. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Let's start here. Powerful verse. Great one to memorize. What then shall we say to these things? Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? This is a foundation for prayer. If God did not spare his own son, Jesus, who died for our sins, became the propitiation of our sins, satisfied the wrath of God once and for all, if God did that, which was the greatest miracle of all, will he not answer our prayers? How can we ever feel distant from God? He's not distant from us. He was before Christ came into our life. He's no longer. Bible says in Ephesians, before Christ, we were without hope, separated from God. But now he's there. He's here. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And you will find that word over and over and over again throughout the New Testament, because it is at the very heart of Christianity. It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? You know, there's a lot of things in life that distress us. And people who do not have this foundation in their life, when there is trouble, when there is loss, when there is distress, when there is financial stuff and physical stuff and relational stuff, we can tend to drift from God and think that we're not responding right, so God doesn't want to hear us if we don't understand justification. But if we understand that we have a constant, eternal relationship with God who takes us through the trials of life, that changes everything. There's nothing that separates us. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are being regarded as sheep to the slaughter. In other words, life is tough, and people's attitudes towards us are that way. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, and that's a good verse to underline, are we sure? I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because we are justified through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that seals an eternal relationship with Almighty God. And nothing will change that. Is that good news or what? People who do not have that foundation, who were not taught that even at the beginning of their Christian walk, are missing the very motivation of joy, the foundation of joy. This is why we can sing and make melody in our heart to God. This is why we don't have to give in to the desires of our flesh to go and respond wrongly at situations, because we are in this relationship with God and nothing will separate us from that. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this morning, and oh, Almighty God, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for what's been accomplished for us in Jesus Christ our Lord, even beyond what we can comprehend. And the more that we read your word, the more insight you give us into your word, the more we begin to understand little by little what Jesus has done. We'll never fully be able to comprehend it, Lord. We'll never be able to fully comprehend the sin, the wrongness of what we are and what we do before you, the severity of it. We can't even begin to comprehend that. But you know. We see the severity of our sin and what it cost Jesus Christ to forgive us. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. Thank you, O God, that you are the justifier. We could not have cleared ourselves, but you cleared us and opened the door for an eternity with you in heaven. O God, we thank you. And there may be somebody here this morning as we're in an attitude of prayer. And maybe you're one of those, even as a Christian, and I'm talking to Christians right now, maybe you've struggled with low feelings of self-worth. Maybe you've struggled with never being able to measure up. Maybe you've been angry with God because he didn't do what you thought he should do. And there is an inner guilt when we get angry with God, because he's never wrong. Maybe you felt like God is distant from you. He's not hearing you. And today you can say, Father, forgive me for those attitudes, because I'm growing in my understanding of what it means to be justified before you through the shed blood of Christ, who paid the price for all of my sin, sins of the past, sins of the present, and all the sins of the future. He died for them all. And I'm free to walk with you and free to know you, free to trust you. Like I've sung this morning, that's how I want to live. trusting in you. And you can turn and repent in that attitude and embrace God's forgiveness and His love. Father, thank you for that. Or there may be someone that you know that's battling with these thoughts. Pray for them. Ask God to give you an opportunity to share what it means to be justified in His name. And if there's anyone here or within the sound of my voice listening to this message by another means, and you have never come to Christ and put your faith in Him, maybe today for the first time you realize why that is so important. Because you stand guilty before God and headed for hell for the punishment of sin. Only Christ gives us peace with God. Only Christ's shed blood on the cross and the power of His resurrection has brought our justification before God. There is no other way. No other way to remove the guilt in your life except to come to Jesus. Receive Him as your Savior and your Lord. And do not hesitate. Oh God, thank you. If there's anyone in this room, give your life to Christ today. Pray with one of us here. Someone you came with. Don't go another day without Jesus. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. And now, Lord, we sing of that in this closing song. We pray that you're honored and pleased with the attitude of our hearts this morning as we celebrate what Christ has done for us. And may we leave this place and share the good news as you give us opportunity wherever we go, oh God. We thank you and praise you for all these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.